Okay, well, here we are, my friends. The final curtain, Esther, chapter, second half of 9. But I'm just going to take that as a chunk. And 10, verses 1 to 3, and we're done. So I better say thank you to the commentators I've used throughout this series. I thank them occasionally. I'm still not going to tell you their names, because we have a tendency to, like, judge a bit, don't we? I don't like that guy. So I'm not, but they know who they are, and I've used two at least. So thank you. I'm talking like they're listening to these sermons. Thank you. Now this is possibly the shortest sermon I've preached in a long time, and it's simple and it's to the point because I couldn't think of anything else to say, and I don't want to say anything else for the sake of it. So we're going to be in and out. And it's called Jesus Holds the Dice. And actually, I was listening to last sermon on Esther on the way up tonight. And I was praising God, not for the preaching, believe me, but for what was said about he spares his people. It is tremendous to me. I'm worse than Haman. Anyway, so last time, the point was, spend less time worrying, why is he judging people? And more time praising him because he's judged the Son and not us. That was the point of last week. So if you didn't hear it, feel free, it's on the internet. Now we come to today's final straightforward, simple sermon because the text is simple and straightforward. In the Old Testament, meals, feasts, and parties, they happened a lot. Yeah, you read that in the Old Testament, and they represented some sort of theological truth, some truth about God. If this was Wednesday, I'd say shout out some feasts that you know from the Old Testament that you might have learned. Gospel pictures they had, you know, like we've got communion. Well, they had feasts and parties, like we have baptism. They had all sorts of pictures like we do. For example, Passover. You know the Jews have that meal, Passover? Here's another one, Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, where they spend a number of days living in tents. And the theological truth is, we're just passing through. Remember that feast celebration they had? And of course, their big one, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Big party for the Jews. And welcome, my friends, to the last chunk of chapter 9, there's a new party for the Jews being introduced now. And every year from this chapter on, they will have read to them the events of the book. And what's the point for the church? Wow, God has overruled and preserved his church. And God is saying, don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget it. Jesus holds the dice, okay? Now, you remember what the feast is called? Did you pick up on that? Where is it? I should really write. Oh, there it is. He cast Pure. The Feast of Purim, verse 26. And for those who were in this service when I preached how many months ago, remember, to make decisions, Xerxes and Haman, their religion, I think, was called Zoroastrianism or something. Anyway, they would get drunk and they would roll dice and they would be praying to their spirit gods, guide the dice so we can make political decisions. And the decision they were casting lot, pure, over and asking demons to guide them was, when shall we kill the church? Remember that? When should we have this genocide and get rid of the Jews? Well, we come to the end of the chapter, the end of the book, and God, who owns the dice, they threw the dice, but God owns the dice, they forgot that, has actually reversed it, it says, on his head, on his own head, on Haman's head, and preserved the church. And Haman is dead. All right? Now, those who have reached chapter 16 of Proverbs will remember this verse in our daily readings. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. God owns the dice. And just look what he did. Just look what he did, because we're halfway through this sermon already. But there is a point coming up. As the days on which the Jews had rest from their enemies, as the month which was turned from sorrow to joy for them, from mourning to a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, of sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted the custom which they had begun, as Mordecai had written to them, because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, had plotted to annihilate them. He had cast to consume them and destroy them, but he lost. Okay? Now, one minor point before one proper point. A side note on celebrations like Christmas and festivals. Should Christians take part in festivals and parties today? You should have an answer to this, probably, especially if you've got a family and you want to raise them. You'll meet some Christians who won't celebrate Christmas because it started off as a pagan festival. Yeah? I don't know. Do you have an opinion? What do you do? For what it's worth, basically, it was a pagan festival, but Christians came along and they took the festival and then got an aspect of Jesus' life from the Bible and said, we're going to make that about this aspect of Jesus. And they basically hijacked the whole party. And now it's a Christian, well, supposedly a Christian party, isn't it? Okay, here's my money's worth. Oh, no, that's the wrong. Here's my 10 cents worth. I don't have a problem with celebrating Christmas. And I don't mind if you do. But that's me. I think it's a great way to introduce people to the gospel. Okay, it used to have pagan festivals, pagan origins, but now let me tell you why I celebrate it. And you're away, aren't you? You're with your neighbours. You could talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. If something has a godless origin, it doesn't mean you can't celebrate it today. If anything, let's hijack more festivals for the glory of God. Yeah, let's go out and do that. But back to the main point, and I really have only one now as we depart this book. They were celebrating that God has control of every area of life. Now I will say that again, because this is the parting message of Esther. They were celebrating that God has control from my Maesteg Hospital to Cardiff Maternity Ward, where I'm going soon. He has control over every aspect of life. Actually, let's not stop at Cardiff. Let's go to Honiton. God has control over Cumbria. And we're to celebrate that. That's the conclusion of Esther. Now, this church should definitely do that more. Definitely. Praise God that he owns the dice of my life and is controlling it. And he's promised to do me good. He's promised that. And I will praise him. You remember that term in Joshua? Here I raise my Ebenezer. Ebenezer meaning, hither by thy help I've come. How do you say that in modern language? Up to this point, God has brought me. Praise him. Now that should be the point of Sunday, every single week. A party of praise. Yes, sometimes it's a solemn party. Sometimes it's a more openly happy and rejoicing party in that kind of way. It's all joy. Do you know, I was thinking, we often get dolled up for human parties, don't we? It's someone's 21st, it's someone's 18th. And we put so much effort in. But sometimes in church, we roll in like we've been out all night. We still look like we've been out all night. And we slump in our seats. And it's just like, whatever. And then we do that. But this is teaching us, no, this should be a party. They do it once a year. We should do it at least once a week. Try this. if you're bored with God, count your many blessings, count them one by one, and you shall see, is it, what the Lord has done. Do that before you come to church. Actually, do it every day. And your dull Christian life, if you are dull at the moment, you will see what the Lord has done. Physical providences and provisions. Spiritual provisions. And we're to praise you, Lord, for everyone. And trust you when it's not going our way. We still trust and we praise you through trust. You see, a sense of entitlement will kill your spiritual walk. If you're like, yeah, whatever, God, you owed me that anyway, you'll die as a Christian. Here's some questions to push this home. Like I said, this is the message. What about your history? Think now, tonight. Have a statement of praise. What about your history? Here I raise my Ebenezer, my feast of Purim. You've overruled. You are rich in mercy. Some of you in this room have been saved in your later years, and you're probably the first in your family. Praise God. And from you, you could have a generation of people who taste and see through your witness that the Lord is good. Years of truth were handed down to me. I should praise God for my parents much more than I do. Praise you, Lord. Do you know, I'm going to sit Jensen on my knee one day when he sits for more than 30 seconds. And I will say, Dad was not a Christian when he was your age. Dad was a naughty boy. Dad hated God. He was living in sin. But he saved me when I was 20. And now you are going to hear the gospel. Praise God. What about your history? How has he overruled in your life even today in your sins? Sunday is a great day for a feast of Purim, isn't it? I don't want to do a half marathon, thank you, on a Sunday. I want to be in church with God's people, praising him. I don't want to revise for the exams next week. I want to trust the Lord and I'm going to lay it aside. I'll work on Saturday. Because on Sunday, at least, I want to praise my God for all that he's done for me. Is that your story tonight? Can we leave this room as praising people? And then I was pushing this further. I'm like totally abandoning the text. I know I'm just taking a party. I'm preaching on a party. But further than that, not just you. A few weeks ago, the Knotts brought the pictures in of the history of this church, and we were looking at photos of women that used to spend hours cleaning the church so that the gospel could carry on in this building. We should be praising God for that. Those ladies which have worked hard for the glory of God, and those men which have taught the Bible in Bible studies and from the sermons, and the hours they've poured into for this gospel work, we should be praising God. Because when someone gets saved in Ogmore Vale or in England or whatever it is and are brought into the family, they're brought into our family. So their history of salvation is our history. And all of this is in this party that the Jews are celebrating today. He is overruled. Here's some advice if you are struggling spiritually. And this is a grand way from this chapter. It's shouting out at you now if you're struggling. This is Esther's way of helping you love God more. Put Facebook away. Pick up a book on Elwin Davis or A.W. Tozer or Daniel Rowlands or Lloyd Jones or Martin Luther or Augustine of Hippo or Athanasius or the Martyrs or the Apostles. Pick it up and praise God that the torch that they carried has been handed down to Ogmore Vale in 2015. And here we are, hearing the gospel, being showered in promises that he will overrule the dice in my life for good. Thank you, Lord, for this family of which I am a part. And as we wrap this kind of up, here's a question. Because there's a danger if we don't praise. There's a danger. If you forget this stuff in your life and how he saved us and preserved us, you'll forget him. If you forget what he's done, you'll forget him. Now, the commentators in this passage were very interested. Here's a general knowledge question. Do the Jews still celebrate the Feast of Purim today? Anybody know that? Yes, they do. They do. And the commentators tell me that they have fallen into routine. Okay? And today, it's still celebrated, but in like a weird, curious way, like Halloween. I'm just quoting them here. But they get dressed up and they go to the synagogue and the temple, and the dude reads out the story once a year, still today. And when Haman's name is mentioned, they hiss and jeer. And then when Mordecai's name is mentioned, they all like, you know, jump around. And it gets really loud. And anyway, the commentators say this. Its meeting is lacking in reality. It's just like a fancy dress party now. And here's the root of why. And this isn't the commentators now, this is me. Anything that excludes Jesus becomes routine. Anything in your life, in this church, that excludes Jesus will just become routine. We're leaving the book of Esther. What does God want to personally impress on us? He overrules. He cares. He cares, and we're to praise him. And if we remove Jesus, we'll just be here for the sake of it. Calvinistic Methodism has been handed down to us. Thank you, Lord, for the truths of the Bible. If we don't praise Jesus, it's just routine. Now, this affects every single one of you in your seats, because you've all got to walk. You've all got to walk. So we close, Lord, as we scan Esther 9. Our prayer is, keep Jesus in our hearts and our praise. As we take the principle of this party, and he helps us one more time in chapter 10 on how not to become in routine. Now, I don't know why the 13th century chap who put the chapters in the English Bibles and then Wycliffe did it. I don't know why he didn't just tag this on the end of chapter 9. You'll have to take that up with him in glory. But here we are, three verses, and verse 2 is really significant on helping us not to fall into routine as we leave. Now, he's talking about Xerxes. He puts a tax on when everybody else is happy. That's his last move. Now, all the acts of Xerxes' power and his might and the account of the greatness of Mordecai to which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of the Media and the Persia? Stop there. Why on earth is it saying, if you're a historian, you want to know about Xerxes and how he conquered the Spartans and how he conquered lands and commanded vast armies? If you want to know about that, go somewhere else. That's what he's saying. Look in a different book. There's another book about for historians like that. If that's your agenda, go away. But if you're departing the book of Esther and you want to know about God and how he preserves his church, welcome to the book. Jesus loves his bride. That's the point of Esther. So there's the final reminder. Ogmore Vale and beyond. Be people of God who believe and live out that Jesus holds the dice. If you want to be fascinated too much with Xerxes or people in the world, forget about it. Go somewhere else. We're here to praise Jesus who overrules. Mordecai was lifted high because he served his Lord. Stack up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And if you want to serve God and his people, it starts like this. Thank you, Lord, for overruling my life. And I will praise you for all that's to come. I thank you for it all. And that, I think, is the lasting, very short and straightforward point of the book of Esther. For his name's sake. Amen.